Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Gujarat Fluorochemicals Limited Q3 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Avendus Spark Institutional Equities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Arun Prasath from Avendus Spark Institutional Equities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Palak. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Avendus Spark Institutional Equities, I welcome everyone to this earnings call to discuss the 3Q FY26 results of Gujarat Fluorochemicals Limited. The company is represented by its Deputy Managing Director and CEO, Dr. Bir Kapoor, and the other senior members of the management team. I first request Dr. Bir Kapoor for the opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. A very warm welcome to all of you for GFL's Quarter 3 FY26 earnings call. For this call, I have with me my colleagues, Mr. Akhil Jindal, who is Group CFO, Mr. Manoj Agrawal, who is CFO of GFL, Mr. Kapil Malhotra, Business Head of Fluoropolymers, and Mr. Rajiv Rao, who is the Business Head of our Battery Materials. The company announced its Quarter 3 FY26 results at its board meeting today. The results, along with earnings presentations, are already available on the stock exchange and on our website. I'll briefly highlight the key financials and then give you an update on business operations and outlook. This quarter was undoubtedly one of the most challenging for us. Performance was impacted by seasonal weakness in the refrigerant segment, the holiday season in Europe, U.S., and continued uncertainty around the U.S. tariff situation. The elevated U.S. tariffs not only affected the U.S. market directly, but given the complexity of global supply chain, it also had a spillover impact on other regions as well. This impacted on both volumes and realizations during this quarter. That said, the outlook going forward is meaningfully more constructive. The recent reduction in U.S. tariffs from 50% to 18% provides significant relief and restores competitiveness in one of the key export markets. We believe this structural improvement will support a recovery in volumes, better pricing stability, and margin expansion over the coming quarters. At the same time, demand in fluoropolymers remain encouraging, particularly from the semicon sectors, where global investments and capacity additions continue to be strong. This is expected to support volume growth and strengthen overall performance. We are also witnessing increasing momentum in the EV/ESS segments globally, with improving order inflows and better visibility. We are confident that FY27 should see healthy revenue growth from this vertical. Overall, the combination of tariff rationalization, commencement of R32 production, faster EV/ESS adoption provides a stronger foundation for recovery in both revenue and profitability. Let me now briefly touch upon the financial performance. Revenue for the quarter stood at 1,136 crores, a marginal decline of 1% year-on-year. In Q3 FY26, EBITDA stood at 283 crores, reflecting a 7% decline from 304 crore in Q3 FY25. This decline was primarily attributable to the refrigerant portfolio, which bore the brunt of multiple headwinds during the quarter. The most adverse pressure came from R22, where we faced a dual impact. First, the production quota reductions, constrained volumes. Second, seasonally subdued demand affected offtake. Also, the delay in R32 production startup resulted in lower than expected profitability for us. In addition, R125 prices remained weak during the quarter, further contributing to the softness in performance. Despite these near-term challenges, the underlying fundamental of the business remain intact. As seasonal demand normalizes and refrigerant volume picks up, we expect improved profitability in coming quarters. Let me now walk you through the performance of each business segment. The fluoropolymer segment delivered healthy growth of 14% year-on-year, though revenue declined 3% sequentially. The quarter-on-quarter moderation was primarily due to uncertainty around U.S. tariff policies, which led to cautious ordering patterns and temporary deferment of demand in key export markets. With the recent tariff reduction, we are seeing improved customer sentiment and better order visibility. We expect strong momentum in this segment going forward, supported by structural demand drivers, particularly from the semicon industry. In the fluorochemical business, revenue declined by 33% year-on-year and 24% sequentially. The decline was largely due to refrigerant business, as explained earlier. The specialty chemical remains subdued, reflecting near-term demand softness. On a year-on-year basis, revenue in the bulk chemical segment declined mainly due to lower prices in chloromethanes and caustic soda. Let me now turn to our battery material business, which is an important strategic focus area for us. On 5th of December 2025, the International Finance Corporation, IFC, has approved investment of Rs. 430 crores in our subsidiary, CFCL EV Products Limited. This investment supports the development of India's first integrated battery materials manufacturing facility and strengthens the domestic EV supply chain ecosystem. IFC's participation reflects confidence in our strategy and execution capabilities. As endorsement of our business strategy and growth prospects in the battery material space, another sovereign fund has approved investment of $82 million US dollars in battery materials business. The documentation is in process and likely to be executed shortly. When we entered the battery material space, our approach was focused on building capabilities, securing customer validation, and scaling in a disciplined manner. Keeping that in mind, we are setting up a state-of-the-art greenfield advanced battery materials project in Oman to produce battery materials for lithium-ion batteries with an estimated investment of US$216 million. In LiPF6, we have worked closely with the leading global electrolyte manufacturers and OEMs. Our product has been approved by many OEMs and our facility has been successfully audited by key customers. Commercial supplies commenced in December 25, and we have already received repeat orders in Q4 FY26. As customer offtake increases, we expect volumes to scale up steadily. In LFP cathode active material, our plant has stabilized operations. We have begun sample dispatches to prospective customers and qualification process is progressing. We expect approvals over the coming months, following which commercial supply will commence. In fluoropolymer binders, the qualification process is progressing as planned, with commercial operation expected to begin in the first half of FY27. This further strengthens our integrated battery materials portfolio. Stepping back, we are building a comprehensive and integrated battery materials platform with established capacities, ongoing qualifications, early commercial traction, and IFC's and one more sovereign fund's strategic investment. We believe we have created a solid foundation for the growth of this new business. The battery material segment is particularly promising given the recent surge in demand for battery energy storage system, in addition to continued growth in EVs. Structural drivers such as data centers, AI and machine learning infrastructure, and the transition towards renewable energy are expected to drive significant growth in energy storage demand over the coming years. Overall, while the current quarter was challenging, we see improving conditions ahead. We remain focused on execution, cost discipline, and scaling our new growth platforms responsibly. We remain confident in our ability to deliver sustained growth and create long-term value for all our stakeholders. Thank you. And now I open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sandesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Good evening, sir. Thanks for this opportunity. I got a few questions. First, on the refrigerant gas, both on R32 and R22. R32, we said that we have commissioned the plant in month of February. Can you help us with what is the capacity we have started with, and where are we now in the first fortnight of this commissioning? What is the utilization we are looking at, and for the full year, what kind of capacity are we looking at? And what is the final capacity are we intending by December 26, where the deadline end? With this capacity already getting delayed, are we looking at 30,000 or we are satisfied with whatever capacity we have today? That's number one. Number two, on the R22, the prices appear to have further gone down as we speak in the month of Jan and Feb. In this background, how should we look at margin? Because a lot of ounce on the margin has come from the bulk chemical and R22, which appears to have remained either weak or has only got further weaker. So this is the first comment. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Sanjish. I had indicated earlier that our plan was to build capacity in phases in R32. I had indicated in the last call that target is to go for 20,000 ton in the first phase. Okay. Of course, there was a setback due to the incident, and because of this, our plan got a little bit delayed. However, that delay is not significant. Our plan is to still commission going to 20,000 ton, as I had indicated earlier. Of course, at that time, I had indicated it was going to be March end. Now I expect that to be slightly delayed by a quarter or maybe quarter and a half. Okay. So our production has already started now. Of course, it took time because we wanted to be absolutely sure with respect to the safety aspects. We got it audited by multiple agencies and make sure that when we start with on a solid foundation of having a very strong safety. So having said that, so far everything is looking good. We have started it and going to be ramped up. And what you said, December 26, I think the number is December 27. The capacity has to be can be added up to December 27. Okay. Of course, in the previous call also, I had indicated that the long-term plan is to go to 30,000 tons, which is or take go up to our quota that has been that we have today. So that plan still remains intact. But however, in the first phase, we will go up to 20,000 tons in the issue. Okay. Now, coming back to our 22.
Capacity we started right now with?
It will be ramped up to 20,000 tons. It's starting in phases. It's going up right now. Okay.
Got it.
Okay. So coming back to our 22, of course, the prices have been, low. Realization has been low and also by the it's a double whammy in a way. However, going forward, we are looking at in this sector positive because of not only R32 but also 125, which prices were also subdued and partly because of the US tariff and partly, you know, once we have an R32, it takes us to 410 as well. So I think we are our outlook on refrigerant section going forward is positive from here, Sanjesh.
Got it, sir. My second question is on the fluoropolymer side of the business. You rightfully said that PFA is picking up for the semicon. How about the other fluoropolymer? Because we are still after all this effort and there were legacy players who went out and all those factors, we are still at 14% growth. We aspired for 20, we are still short of it. How should we look at this year and the next year?
I'll add first part here and then I'll let Kapil take over from there. The first part is, you know, yes, when we have looked at the growth and given you the number, there were multiple factors in, you know, which we were counting on. Of course, one of them was anti-dumping duty, where, of course, as you know, DGTR had recommended anti-dumping duty, which was eventually not approved by the Finance Ministry. That, of course, has created eroded few percentage points from the growth that we are looking at. And, of course, the tariff situation has created, deferred quite a few of the buying decisions. Okay. So combined effect of these two, in a way, has taken, more than a quarter off from what we were targeting earlier. Over to Kapil, please.
Hi, Sanjesh. Kapil is
right. Sir.
So just continuing with what Dr. Kapoor has mentioned, that first was the fact that we were counting some growth coming from the domestic market itself due to the anti-dumping duty recommendation, which were actually not accepted by the Ministry of Finance. Coming to the other fluoropolymers in other parts of the world, so we have done well in some of the elastomer categories. We have grown there, taking some market share from our erstwhile legacy players who are going out. Secondly, the other thing which I had also mentioned last time is that in these applications, there are always qualification times also from the customers. So they always keep some stocks from the legacy players in check and then slowly start approving and then, you know, once the stock reduces, they start onboarding us. So that particular process is on. So we are seeing that very steady growth coming in every quarter from the exit of these legacy players and in elastomers or in other fluoropolymers, we continue to gain market share as and when we are getting the approval from the customers.
Got it. And particularly, which fluoropolymer are we seeing a better offtake and we may see more capacity coming in say, this year and next year?
Sanjesh, first of all, rightly mentioned semiconductor industry. You must have also seen that we were mentioning that semiconductor industry is poised to grow from start of this year, which has started happening. you must have been seeing the news in the media that chip shortages already started happening, memory chip shortages are going high in prices. So the first green shoots we already started seeing in terms of increased demand coming from our customers. So PFA is one product where I am seeing that the demand will keep on increasing as and when we keep on getting a ramp-up approval from the customers.
Top class quality.
Yeah, and also we have invested our lot of money in terms of getting to the clean class required by the semicon industry. So there also entire investments have been utilized. Commissionings have taken place, audit from the customers have taken place, some of the audits are going on. So this is one place where we really see the business growing up. The second business is obviously the fluoroelastomer business. There also we are seeing that the increased vehicle growth sales in India due to GST reduction and also income tax rebate which government gave. So we are seeing that demand in the market also converting to demands of our products also. Same way, we are also seeing that with the tariff reductions in US, further, automobile industry there also is doing well. So there also we expect the demand to keep on, growing and giving us more business as we are getting qualifications in some of the other exotic applications. And then we are also, since it's an engineered product, so we are also getting some requirements of the new applications. That's where we have also developed some of the newer grades, which are under qualifications or they have got qualified. So there also we see a growth coming in next year from these particular products. And they are high value added products for us.
Got it. One last on the inventory side. We were aspiring 120 and we are exactly on the other side of it at 201. What's driving such a sharp increase in inventory and why are we carrying so much of an inventory? Any particular reason for it?
Yes, Sanjesh, let Kapil answer that.
Yeah. So Sanjesh, here we were actually building up the markets and we expected some of the stocks were built up in expectation of some of the orders coming in. However, last year we saw that in the last quarter also, as it was a holiday period in USA, Europe, and also some of these slowdowns happened due to tariffs also, that we had to hold some inventories with us, either over here or in our stock warehouses in other countries also. So that's how the inventory went up. However, it has just, offtake has started, and we are seeing a diminishing inventories from the beginning of the last month.
So what is the aspiration on the working capital? Because it appears to be too stretched now, eating away all the capital for us. Where do we want to be in the working capital days? Earlier we used to talk of 120, now at 200. Where we realistically can be, say, in a year's time frame?
So what we are targeting, Sanjesh, is somewhere around maybe 170 to 180 is what we think is a realistic number going forward because of our, our business model is based on stock and sell and also shipping material early from here. So keeping that in mind. So of course it's on the higher side at the moment for the reason that has been explained by Kapil. Okay.
Got it. And on the battery side, one last, sorry on that. What is the aspiration for FY27? Where are we targeting now that we are looking slowly commercialization happening? How does FY27 and FY28 look for battery chemical, particularly FY27? How does the order book look like? What is the potential? What is the potential revenue we can book?
I mean, it would be, let me see the way we started, Sanjesh, is we started building our first plant so that we can get it qualified and then slowly ramp up. So if you look at today, the first plants are already materials in, for example, in LiPF6 cases qualified. So our supply has started. Okay. LFP also, the plant is commissioned. We got the right quality level. It's going through the qualifications. The issue is that unfortunately in products in EV and ESS space, the qualification times are long, okay? And the more critical the product is, the longer the qualification time, okay? So while we expected revenue to trickle in this financial year, which is happening, We expect 27 and 28 to be a growth year for us. Okay, so it will be difficult for us to give you the exact projection of 27, but our order books for the capacity that we have built up today looks very healthy. So, for the plant that are already there, we expect to get fully commercial, fully utilized probably by the end of this year. Okay.
We have put around 1,700 crores of asset.
Correct.
If I'm right. What is the asset turn we are looking at? And when we say full utilization, that means...
Asset turn we had always given, Sanjesh, on the mix.
2X.
On the 2X product. And then again, some products are higher, some products are lower. So it also depends on product. Once the plant gets fully utilized over a period of time, we intend to get that. But I'm not so sure whether the same turn would be achieved. It all depends on how the different product lines are getting.
If we talk about 1x kind of an asset turn, we are talking about what potential 1700 crores of revenue in FY27.
But 1700 crores is right now commissioned at the moment. But there is also there are plants which are for example electrolytes. Electrolyte is for the Indian market, which is a little bit on the slower side, has not picked up. So we are looking at the global market, Sanjesh. Okay, some of our products are for U.S. market very clearly. Electrolytes are based for Indian market, and as the market picks up, these capacity will get utilized over a period of time.
To just be more specific, how many orders are commercially approved for us? As in LiPF6, in LFP, how many of the customer has commercially approved us?
See, LiPF6, we have several approvals. Let me put it this way. Okay, because multiple electrolyte players have visited us, including OEMs. Okay, and typically the way it happens after qualification, the supply is ramped up in a phased manner. Okay, so that process has started. That's a very good part, that there is a confidence of customers on our capability to deliver. And that ordering process has started, okay? And we expect this to continue to grow. LFP is at very early stage. It's just got, plant got commissioned. We just got the quality. The samples are being sent out. So while I can say that we have a very clear visibility to order for the capacity that we have right now, the qualification time will take a few quarters, and then the revenue stream will start coming up.
So will it be fair to assume that only LiPF6 as a revenue will be booked in FY27? FY28 is when LFP will start, and electrolyte with how the India picks up on the battery side is how one should look at it, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the management has been disconnected. Please hold while we reconnect them. Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the management has been reconnected. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Sorry, Sanjesh, and my apologies. I think got disconnected in between.
You want me to repeat the question?
No, I remember the question. You were asking, all I can say is that the capacity that we have right now, we expect to get fully utilized by 27-28. Because this year will be the ramp-up growth period for us.
No, it appears that only LiPF6 can ramp up this year because Electrolyte India manufacturing is still a little away. LFP, we said few quarters away for all the approval process to get, so probably only FY28 story. So what we are left in FY27 is only LiPF6 salt manufacturing.
And possibly some electrolyte will also pick up, and the binder as well, which you missed.
Got it. No, that's
because binder is at the final stages. The commercial trials are going on right now in the customer factory. It's going into the commercial cars right now as we speak. So that will be expected in the second half of this financial year. the order book to come, orders to be start, we'll start shipping up orders for PVDF.
That's very clear. Thank you, sir. Okay. Thank you for patiently answering all those questions and best of luck for the coming
quarter. Welcome. Thanks, Sanjesh. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one now. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from 360 ONE Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So first question is again on R32. We believe that the deadline for putting up the project was end of 2026. I think in your comment you said end of 27. So just want a clarity on this. And a light question to that, in terms of market for selling R32, which markets are we looking at? Is it domestic, export? And if it is both the markets, what kind of mix at optimal utilization that we are looking at? Thank you.
My understanding, Rohit, is that it's December 27. Okay, I'm confirming it internally here right now. However, for putting the capacity, because we already have a quota, of course. And the second part that you asked is R32, of course, we are looking at it as global market access, because we are into a very sweet spot with R125 also with us. So we are looking at R32 and R125. A combination 410 plus R32 alone. So it's going to be both global as well as.
Yeah, I got that.
Okay. So there are just a clarification that I have received, Rohit, that the quota has to be confirmed by end of this year, but the plant can be commissioned in December 27. That's the, and we already have quota, so we have. So we can commission the plant by December 27 of the quota that we already have access to.
Right, and we are still considering 30,000 tons as the our capacity in a phased manner till December 27, right?
Right, absolutely.
Sure. The second question is on the fluoropolymers. So, I mean, I'm slightly flummoxed that 9 months back when we started the year, we already had the indication that 3M, I mean the competitor, is out of the picture by end of 24, and partly that void will be filled up by incumbents. And obviously in anticipation of that, even the customers would have got the validation from the incumbents for their supplies. But today again, we are seeing that there has been a slowdown in the fluoropolymers and projections that we were anticipating are not likely to materialize, at least for FY27. I understand the US part, tariff part attached to it, but again, I think the large part of the market is Europe. So what has changed suddenly in terms of last 3 to 6 months? And will it be a feature for FY27 as well, or we expect that on this lower base, FY27, will be able to pick up momentum and again go back to that 15-20% volume growth? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Rohit. Let me give one statement up front that it has not changed significantly. It's not that we are, because there are multiple factors which has impacted the few quarters that we looked at. However, the fundamentals remain very strong, and I'll let Kapil take this and take you through. But it's not that we are changing the growth pattern here.
In fact, Rohit, everything remains the way we had talked about. The first thing which I had mentioned just a couple of minutes back was that what happens is that once any existing player is exiting, they have some commitments of 6 months or 1 year to the existing customers. So they keep some stocks for them. That's one. So whatever stocks were kept, they actually, you know, got liquidated a bit slow because there was a market which was picking up slowly at that time. Secondly, then the tariff announcements also had confused a lot of, you know, customers also. I'll give you one very specific example. One of our very good customers in USA, he had qualified us to for a particular replacement from the existing incumbent, but he was withholding it because his end customer was withholding it to change from because there were inventories there. So now that inventories are going off, so the customer is committing that from March or April he will start, you know, shifting to us gradually. So this is just one example. So there are a couple of such examples which we have, because again, remember, you know, don't forget that these are high performance products going into automobiles, space, or other important applications. The customer also, you know, end customer also then qualifies, gives a clearance. Sometimes the inventory stuck up in between also, you know, creates a bit of a hurdle. So now all those hurdles are over now, and also with tariffs also coming down to 18%. The customers also at that time were not actually keeping some inventories with them. Whatever inventories were there, they were trying to liquidate, as they didn't want to build up any inventories at higher tariff costs. So now that things are showing up, clarifications are coming, so we expect that the entire momentum will come back again the way we expect it to come.
That explains, sir. Thanks a lot for that elaborative answer. Just one last clarification about the Oman project. So will this be part of the 6,000 crore capex on the battery materials, or is it excluding that? And
no, it includes that, Rohit. It's part of that.
Right. And in terms of timelines, I think we were expecting the 6,000 crores investment will be over sometime by FY28. Now with this Oman, will it get spilled over by a few quarters? How is it going?
No, the Oman, the timeline is around 18 months for us to have the plant gets commissioned. Okay.
Sure. Thanks a lot for answering all.
So it will probably be mid to end of 27. Yes.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you, sir. And all the best.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Arun Prasad from Spark Institutional Equities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is on PTFE. So within PTFE, our understanding is that the basic grades and these say value-added grades have a, I'm assuming that there will be different buying pattern and different demand. So if you can, but what we are seeing in data is, correct me if I'm wrong, the basic grade seems to be lot lower this quarter. Is there anything significantly affecting this, or is it just a timing difference?
Yes, Arun, could you, could you repeat your question?
Can you clarify to me what do you mean by the basic grade so that I can...
suspension grade seems to be at the lower levels in terms of the volume this quarter.
See, suspension grade is not the basic grade. Suspension grade also has a lot of high performance grades in between. The base grade probably starts, and that's where we have just 10-20% of our sale is in that base grade. Rest 80% is into the higher performance grades. So as we had mentioned around last to last quarter, where we had seen that our realizations also had become better, and that time we had mentioned that what target we were having of shifting the high towards high performing grades, that process is on, and that's why we are converting everything to the high performance grades, and that is what is reflecting in our business also.
But we don't see corresponding growth in the volume in the other grades as well. So what am I missing, sir?
See, one thing which we also mentioned was that we were expecting the anti-dumping duty in the domestic market to come, but unfortunately it did not come. It was supposed to actually be through by December or something, but ministry did not accept it, Ministry of Finance. So in fact, we were expecting some volumes to grow, and then this quarter also. But that is something where now we'll have to relocate ourselves, that whatever volume we were reserving for that, we are now trying to find more lucrative markets so that we can park our material there.
Right, understood. Is there any limitation in your overall capacity if we say do more of emulsion and less of suspension? And are we already there in that level?
No, we do not have any capacity limitations. In fact, we are also doing some demodulating wherever we feel that some of the grades which are giving us better realizations, So we are adding some kind of small balancing equipments to enhance the capacities to even serve those more volumes better. So as such, there is no capacity constraint, but we are doing our balancing of the equipments to see to it that we go to higher value-added products.
Secondly, on our R22, because we are seeing continuous reduction in the volume that we can place, what are our alternate plans to utilize this excess available, say, TFE going forward?
Right now, I think it's not an issue because the available TFE we have, which is what is required, so which we can expand. And R22 availability also is there for us. So as far as the backward supply chain for PTFE or fluoropolymers, we do not have any issue, Arun.
So everything now depends upon the end market recovery. So till then, we need to kind of
correct.
Run at the lower utilization levels.
Correct.
Understood, sir. My second question is on the LFP CapEx announced, this $216 million. This is the total CapEx of the entire site, or is it phase-wise?
It's a phase-wise. This is the first phase which we are doing right now because the site has a very large potential to grow further. This is the first phase of investment.
And then what kind of demand this site can meet in terms of size? For
we have not shared the number yet in terms of the capacity and the product details, which we'll probably do it in due course. So we are holding on to that information as of now, for the obvious reasons of because we are now present, going to be, this is probably for the global market, and we are trying to make sure that that it should not, we do not lose any competitive advantage by giving some numbers like that.
Just make us understand, sir, what kind of competitive advantage we have in versus, say, other geographies, even versus India. So, in how competitive in terms of CapEx per ton and OpEx against, say, Chinese or other competition in, say, Europe?
Of course, as we had always said earlier also, that, focus of our market, of course, is the U.S. market. And Oman as a location has a sweet spot because it has a FTA from US, and of course we have also signed an FTA with India. Oman has signed FTA with India. So I think from that perspective, I think it has a certain strategic advantage. And there are other advantages as well, which would be difficult for me to share a lot more details, but definitely it has a lot more strategic advantage for us to be there. Okay.
Is the CapEx competitive to, say, a Chinese plant? That is what I'm trying to understand. For the scale that we are putting up here.
Yes, it's
or
in
how,
the same
how,
line.
How disadvantage or how better we are?
Of course, the Chinese CapExes are, of course, right now the most lowest efficient. But however, it's not very very far from that. Okay. So it's obviously Oman... being a country where we'll have to bring all the equipment and machinery from outside, the capexes are expected to be higher. But nevertheless, when we look at the entire opex and capex combination, I think it has a strategic advantage for us.
That's okay. And finally, on the LiPF6, are we looking to sell mostly in these spot markets? Because now, with the LCE price going up, salt prices also seen good traction. So will this be a benefit for us, or have we locked much of our capacity or whatever in terms of contractual prices?
I'll let Rajiv handle that, but just to tell you that a lot of the pricings are sort of a formula-based pricing. So, Rajiv, you want to answer?
Yeah. So most of our LiPF6 pricing with our customers is based on a formula with lithium carbonate as a reference. So as the lithium carbonate fluctuates, so will our LiPF6 pricings, and our margins will be intact. That's the way we have structured our contracts, and our customers also like it so they don't have the volatility of LiPF6 pricing going very high or very low. That's the way we are operating.
But having said that, Arun, the Chinese prices were very low. They were swinging. However, we have always said, I said it in earlier calls as well, that our price points, of course, are very different. We are actually a non-PFE supplier, which gives a certain advantage, not only on accessing customer base, but also on the price points.
Understood, sir. And this margin is also...
Sorry to interrupt, Arun, sir. May we request you to come back in the follow-up question queue?
No issues. We'll do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Arun. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference call, please limit your question to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Archit Doshi from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. I'm sorry if I'm being repetitive or joined the call a bit late. But just wanted to get an understanding on all these 4 elements within the EV product subsidiary. And great to see progress over there already. But if I take out, for example, India or exposure to the Indian geography in terms of revenues or EBITDA, in all these 4 product portfolios, LiPF6, the cathode active material, electrolyte, and the fluoropolymer binder. How are we faring on the export front? And let's say if one has to hazard a guess for S27 or S28, X of India, how do we look at scaling up these product portfolios? Any revenue indication that you would like to give, or at least on a utilization basis, where would be our aspiration or target to get into the exports market?
Yeah, I'll just make one statement and answer the rest. The first thing is, Archit, that as you said, that the strategy that we have to set up this business is to create alternate supply chain globally, and this is to cater to the global customer, whether they are in U.S., Europe, India. Okay.
Right.
Having said that, our the products that you mentioned, except electrolytes, the remaining 3 product verticals are all for global market, because Indian market is still not ready. So the entire business plan is around that. Do you want to answer for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if we look at our various products, for example, LiPF6, there's hardly much capacity outside of China. And our customer base, which is mostly in US and Europe, are looking for non-PFE suppliers to de-risk their supply chain. And this is where we have been able to win customers in all these geographies. Same is the case for LFP cam and binders, where the customers are looking to de-risk their supply chain. As far as electrolyte is concerned, it will be focusing on Indian markets. Indian market is still to pick up. So as far as customer mix is concerned, as we start in FY27, we'll start off with being heavy on the US and European customer base. And over the next year or two, we'll start adding Indian customers through electrolyte business.
Right, sir. That's exactly the reason why I was focusing on non-India markets, because Indian the battery capacity, the gigawatt capacity, is yet to materially come in a big way. And I was trying to understand, you know, how should we look at revenues building up in these three portfolios, ex of electrolyte, which will definitely, as you rightly said, on the export side. Even if you can give any sort of qualitative understanding with regards to any visibility on customers, quantities, any revenue numbers, that we believe that can be achievable in F27 or F28. That's what I was largely looking at. And in the interest of time, if I can just add another question. The initiative in Oman, what were the thought processes in venturing into Oman? Is it the raw material advantage? Is there availability of phosphate or lithium? Is it the capex advantage? I'm sorry if I've been repetitive, but if you can share your thoughts once again, that would be helpful. Thank you, and over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Rajiv. Please, Rajiv.
Yeah, so, you know, the capacities that we have put up right now, the way I would like to answer your question, and we have responded a little bit earlier, is going to be utilized. The utilization is going to increase in the coming financial year. And by the end of the year, coming financial year, our current capacities will get fully utilized by supplying LiPF6 binders and CAM to the U.S. and European market. And as far as electrolyte is concerned, that will happen by the business is likely to start by the end of coming financial year. Does that answer your question?
Actually, sir, but would we derive a decent amount of revenues at least from this, if even if we don't want to, you know, point out a revenue number? What I'd like to understand at least is that we'll have some revenues coming into the subsidiary F27 and onwards.
Of course, yeah. So like we mentioned earlier, for binders, we are at the final stage of qualification. So by the second half of financial year 27, we expect that business to get going fully. For LiPF6, we already started getting orders in December of 25, and we have got repeat orders for Q4 of FY26 because we have approvals from major electrolyte players, global electrolyte players, which serve the U.S. market, and therefore are consumers of LiPF6. So that business has already started and is going to pick up steam right from the beginning of FY27. So there is going to be a revenue stream for salt from the beginning of the financial year, binders from the second half of the financial year, and LFP CAM also is going to start somewhere in the second half of financial year 27. So there is going to be an increasing revenue as we go into FY27, and FY28 all our capacities will be fully utilized.
Sure, sir. So one final bit on the Oman bit, if you can address that question as well, that would be my final one. Thank you and all the best.
Yeah, on Oman front, of course, there are, as I mentioned in earlier question, that there is a certain advantage we have because of the location. Because that geographical location gives us a certain advantage in terms of the, you know, supplying from Oman has tariff advantage in certain markets. Also, accessing raw materials and skill sets in Oman is easier. So it's a lot. So there's a definitive advantage of setting up a facility in Oman. Okay, that's the reason. And looking at again at a global market and creating a supply chain which is at a scale which is globally competitive.
Sir, any raw material advantage there? Availability of phosphate or lithium or other nearby?
Not at the moment, but yes, yeah. It's it will eventually happen over a period of time because there's an entire ecosystem which is being set up in that region. And of course, energy costs and prices are we have certain advantage there, you know, with the gas as well as power.
Right. Sure. That's it from me, sir. Thank you and all the very best.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, sir.
The next question is from the line of Ketan Gandhi from Gandhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, it's regarding infusion of capital by Oman government. They have invested in the subsidiary of GFCL EV, the Oman part, and previous all investment happened in GFCL EV India. Is there any valuation difference or this, if you want to share, if well and good.
Yeah. So both these investments are coming in convertible form, where they are linked to the certain milestones on the IPO that way. So there's no fixed valuation neither for the IFC investment in India, nor for the sovereign fund that is going to invest in the subsidiary in Oman. So they are more like a convertible instrument which will have a fixed return, is linked to the certain milestones.
So, okay, but it's an equity portion only, not the debt.
Yeah, it is absolutely an equity with no put or with no put being given by the parent or any other company, with no buyback commitment, nothing. It's the purest form of equity. We wanted to contain the returns. We wanted to just restrict the returns of what they would ultimately make, and that's the reason why it is a convertible instrument.
All right. And my another question is, sir, on slide 7, you have mentioned fluoropolymers binder. Can you please elaborate on that? I mean, whether it is PVDF or PTFE binder, and whether this cater to the recently technological breakthrough by Tesla in dry process. I'm not telling that we will be supplying to Tesla, but just to understand that this will be of that grade whereby our PTFE binder can be used in the dry process.
See, right now, the binder which is mentioned and which is at the final stages of qualification is PVDF binder. PTFE binder is also being tested as of now. So we have capability to produce both PTFE as well as PVDF. The business will first start, what we have mentioned, is from PVDF.
And sir, after the breakthrough done after 5 years by Tesla in dry process, if that is being adopted by all the other battery players, is it possible that we may see a shoot up in the demand of the PTFE of that grade, and whether we are capable to produce that much grade PTFE?
Yeah, surely. I mean, we are capable to produce, and that's where, you know, the outlook of fluoropolymer, when we give the very strong outlook from multiple sectors, one of the factor, of course, is what you're mentioning. So we have capability to produce, but it, as you know, because this is a breakthrough now, it will, by the time it converts into a volume, there's a process, there's a timeline for qualification and great development. So it will happen. Certainly, it's a wonderful opportunity for our PTFE business.
Ethan, sir. Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Krishan from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Just two from my side. First, a clarification. Did you mention that you will be able to put up R32 capacity by CY27N?
We said that the entire capacity that we have quota allocated to us. That's what I meant.
So you can...
Not the 20,000 that I had indicated earlier.
Yeah, I mean, I was asking, like, the 32 capacities have to come up before CY26 and CY27.
No, we are already started our first phase of R32 capacity, which I had mentioned in previous calls.
Mm-hmm.
Initial capacity that we are putting up is 20,000 tons. Okay? And this, we were supposed to do it by the end of this financial year, which got delayed. And then eventually, so what we'll do is we will commission this capacity very early in this calendar year. And then subsequently, the second phase of the capacity will be planned. Okay.
So the second phase, by that, so I think you produce close to 19,000.
That we have not really indicated any timeline for that. But of course, if it has to be done, we'll do it prior to December 27, as per the requirement.
That is what I was checking. What is the requirement? Is it has to be the plant has to come up before CY27? Is that the requirement?
The plant has to come up by CY27, correct. The quota has to be, but whomever has to receive quota, that will happen by N26, but the plant capacity cannot come up by 27. So far, we already have a quota. And
yes, yes, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so that's what I was saying, that we already have, we still have not reached our quota limit by 20,000 tons. So we still have a quota available to us. So we will, in the second phase, we'll see what all capacity based on the market requirements and other scenarios will take a call. But we have time till December 27 to add capacity.
Okay, and just the last bit on that, so you produce close to 19,000 tons of R22. During CY910, this is my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, 65% on GWP basis translates to close to 32,000 tons of R32. So is this the entitlement you intend to use for the phase 2, which has to come up before CY27?
Yes, that's indeed one of the numbers, yes.
Understood. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Vishen. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from 360 One Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. So under the fluorochemicals vertical, we also have the fluoro specialty which goes in for pharma agro applications. We haven't heard on this part of the piece since a fairly long time, given that we are more focused on the downstream of fluoropolymers as well as the battery chemicals. So is there any revenue contribution coming in, and whether the margins are in line with our company-wide margins, and whether there is any focus on this, or probably this will just stay as it is for the time being? Thank you.
As of now, Rohit, we do not have much focus on that particular segment. So we have certain products which are continuing, which we intend to continue, of course. And those have been picked up based on certain margin expectations. So we are not really investing in that segment as of now, because there are so many other opportunities that we have. So we are so far not focusing much on that particular segment. But that, of course, has a revenue contribution, which is included in the vertical that we have shown in our presentation.
Great. And just one last clarification on the IFC fund front. So have we received the funds, or will be receiving in the near term?
Yeah, that, you know, the necessary compliance with respect to that IFC disbursement is all done. There was an AGM which was to be done for the shareholders of EV, plus other statutory requirements. They're all complete. The funding should be done pretty shortly, I mean, maybe in a week's time or so.
Okay, that's all. Okay,
thanks, Rohit. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you so much. And let me close this call, reaffirming our growth plans. Fluoropolymers continue to do well despite some temporary hiccups, be it the U.S. tariff or demand from some of the industries getting pushed forward. Our long-term growth and plans are firmly in place for fluoropolymer business. EV business, as you see, is shaping up very well, and we are on track to achieve our guidance there. There's a huge interest from the customer worldwide, and we are emerging as a credible large alternate supply chain partner for most of our customers outside of China. The large global marquee investors' participation in GFCL EV re-emphasizes the deep value in the segment. The biggest dent this quarter has been from the refrigerant segment, mainly from the volume and price dip of both R22 and R125. We believe this should recover going forward. Also, the value creator for us this year going forward in this segment will be R32 sales ramp-up, which we are expecting to start from quarter 3, which has now been pushed to quarter 4. So with this, I would like to thank you all for your interest in GFL and GFCL EV, and appreciate you being part of this call. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Avendus Spark Institutional Equities, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.